And welcome to Curiously Morbid. This is our Halloween special. This is Halloween. Everybody scream! Well done on cue, Danny. Hello, my name is Dean Osgood and I am one half of Curiously Morbid. I'm Curiously, and now we've got Morbid joining us. And Morbid is otherwise known as Dan. Yeah, world round.
Hello, Halloween. Well, it's the Halloween week. It's Halloween vibes. It's so close to Halloween. I'm excited. I love Halloween.
Danny, why are you ruining it? It is Halloween. This podcast is going up on Halloween.
It is Halloween.
So we're clearly recording this on Halloween.
On the day.
Do not ruin it.
On the days of leading up to Halloween's Eve. Totally.
So this is an exclusive episode for you. We have been back and forth and over what to do. Like, I'm sure at some point we said we were going to do our top horror films, but we've decided to keep that as an exclusive for the Patreon.
Yes.
Our Patreon, if you haven't got on it yet, is at Curiously Morbid Pod. You can find us there and get that. But today we've got something extra special in store.
Extra special.
And I'm quite excited.
I'm really excited. I love it. I love things like this. Tell them what it is, Dean.
Well, we're trying to build the suspense, but it's the title of the podcast, Danny. Yeah. So if they clicked on it, I'm pretty sure they know what it is. We are going to be looking into summer camps in America and specifically scary summer camp stories. So, like, it's an alien thing to us, the British, having a summer camp. But, however, I did work in one for 3 months.
See, this is where we're going to get a pretty good insight here, because my only kind of summer camp knowledge is literally like Friday the 13th and American Horror Story. And The Parent Trap, but that is exclusively it.
Have you not seen Sleepaway Camp?
No.
Oh, it is the campiest, funniest film ever.
I have not Watch seen it. That. Oh, also Adam's Family Values. That is my only other summer camp.
Yeah.
That's it. I only know movie stuff. I don't know actually any real life stuff and things like that. Only things from like horror films and stuff like that. And they just, to me, I don't feel like I would want to go to a summer camp. I just don't feel like it's very me. It's a lot of outdoors and stuff is what it looks like.
Well, summer camps have specialisms, so depending on what the specialism is...
Oh, wait, I was going to say Camp Rock. Yeah, I'll go to Camp Rock with the Jonas Brothers. That'd be great.
So that's essentially where I worked. I worked at a performing arts camp that shall not be named in upstate New York. For legal reasons, I cannot disclose the name. But yeah, very, very popular American summer camp. But yeah, you can have traditional summer camps, which are... I'm probably chatting all this shit and our listeners are like, that is not correct. You can have traditional summer camps which do all that, but then you have specialist ones as well, which, like, I did a performing arts one. I think they also have summer camps, like, based on your, like, your religion. And I know they have ones for, like, weight loss.
Oh my god! For children?
Yeah. For children, yeah.
Oh my god. That's,
like, fat camp.
That's pretty intense. Oh my god, fat camp? Oh, see, that's 100% where I would have been sent to.
Well, me too, and I only know that's real because when I worked there, obviously, I was speaking to one of my campers, and he was like, oh yeah, I did fat camp, like, a couple of years ago, and I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, fat camp. He absolutely loved it.
Oh, right, okay.
He absolutely loved it. He said he made friends, made memories. I was like, oh, that's... It was alien to me, so...
That is crazy.
Like, just because I never did it.
It's weird,
so, Danny, before we get into the... Sorry,
I was just going to say, it's weird the way, like, it hasn't translated over to, you know, like, the UK. It's weird that it's, like, very exclusively just an American thing.
Yeah, and, like, I found things really weird. Like, for example, in the summer camp, the counsellors sleep in the same bunk as the campers.
See, now that, like,
that
raises major safeguarding things to me.
Yeah, so it does for me as well, but, like, that's just the norm over there. Like, you're not on your own. There's 4 counsellors and, like, 10 campers.
Yeah.
And that's how it is.
Yeah.
And to be fair, the counsellors are all, like, 18, 19, 20. I was 19 when I did it.
God.
So, yeah, but, like, that just would not translate here at all, would it? Like, that would not be a thing. You, like... Like, one, if I was a kid going to a camp, I would not want to be sharing the same bunk. See, a bunk is just like a log cabin, but with one room. Does that make sense?
Because I can picture it, like, off the movies, I suppose.
Yeah, it's literally one room full of bunk beds, and that's it, and a bathroom.
No, I wouldn't like that.
Or you could have big bunks where it was like one bunk one side, one the other, in the bathroom in the middle, and both bunks shared the bathroom. So like that was my bunk was split.
Ugh, yeah, to me it just sounds like a hostel, and a hostel's just not a great time.
Oh yeah, it is like a hostel, and you sleep there for 3 months.
No,
for like the 3 hours.
See,
you get
I
to
slept
sleep.
In a hostel for like one night in London, and that's enough. That was enough.
I was really worried about the sleeping situation. I didn't think I'd be able to sleep because I'm not very good at sleeping in a room with other people because I get that self-conscious about like me. But I was that exhausted that I just fell asleep for the 4 hours I was permitted to sleep every night.
Aw, at least you got some sleep. But
yeah,
our listeners weren't getting any sleep.
Scary. Before we get onto the scary stories, though, Danielle, I am an ex summer camp counsellor. AMA.
AMA. Did you ever experience any scary goings on?
Yeah.
Go on, tell us.
Right, so the camp I worked at was round a lake.
Obviously, they're always around a bloody lake.
Yeah, and like on the other side of the lake, technically off site, there was a what are they called? Like a pier, but not a pier.
Yeah.
Like a fishing boat.
Yeah,
dock and
I know what you mean.
Yeah. And overnight, like after like 9 o'clock, when the kids went back to their bunks, if you weren't the counsellor on duty that stayed in the bunk, you had free time from 9 o'clock till whenever it was your time. So you'd want to try and get as far away from the kids as possible. So we would walk in the pitch black through this forest in America, and sit on this pier. But I used to see things in the woods all the time that used to absolutely shit me up.
Like what? What did you see?
Just like eyes and rustling. And like there was always stories about the things that were in the woods or about people that were murdered or like things. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't like that. But did you tell each other scary stories?
No, because we were all petrified. There was a lot of gay men being like, this sounds fun, but we're absolutely terrified. And help us, please.
Oh, my God.
And then when you got to the pier, it was all right. But sometimes there'd be strangers at the pier. And, like, this was upstate New York, so, like, massively. There was no, like, the nearest town was 10 minutes away that you had to drive to. And when I say town, it was, like, a population of 50 people.
Oh, my God.
Had a McDonald's, though.
It's... like, so when you encountered, like, strangers at the pier, just people from that town, or...?
Yeah, that were, like teens that had gone out to drink and stuff. But there was this one time, there was just a car there, and all we could see was the headlights of the car blinded us, and I was absolutely petrified and thought, this is it.
This is it? Oh, no, I wouldn't like that. That had happened to me once, and I'd be like, any free time, I'd be like, no, I'm just going to stay in the bunk. I'm fine. I need to stay here. Goodbye.
Wow. It was all pitch black. Remind me, I'm going to go off topic now, but remind me to bring it back to scary New York Pride. Okay.
Oh, okay.
I'll loop it back around. One of the scariest things, right? Not supernatural, not paranormal, but a bit true crimey. We had to practice an active shooter drill.
Oh, I don't like that. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. We practiced an active shooter drill. So it was like, what would you do? Obviously, the campers weren't there. Did you hear them fireworks in the background there? How awful. I hate fireworks. So we had to practice an active shooter drill. If this was like, there was a week before the campers arrived when everyone got trained and got to meet each other. That was the best week of the whole experience because it was like being away at camp yourself. What I imagine camp would be like for adults. And we practiced this active shooter drill, and it was like, hide if you can't hide, get the kids to run in the woods, but split up because they can go after one kid, not all of them. And like, it was like, yeah, that's what it was. Like, don't go together, split up in the woods. And I, that terrified me, the fact that we had to even consider that or do that. So that was scary.
Oh, God, that's awful. Oh, that's really scary.
And apparently, true crime-wise, there's been incidents of active shooters or strangers on the camp.
Oh, I don't like
there was like a certain code word that would come over the tannoys, and you knew that, like, to hide or to run.
Oh my God, I don't like that. That's, oh no.
Oh, obviously it didn't happen while I was there, but like, scary. Anyway, what was I meant to loop it back around to?
To Pride in New York.
Oh, scariest thing that happened. Not Pride in New York. I didn't go to Pride in New York, but I imagine that would be amazing. Although there might be some scary things there. Or just not to question whilst. It was Pride in New York, and there was a night. It was a night before. It was a night before a lazy day, which was like the majority of the staff's day off. And it was Pride in New York, and the guy who was like the director of music there had a house just down the road from the camp. That will come in important, right?
Oh God.
And all the gay members of staff were invited to go in to his house to have a drink, to like just celebrate like Pride like you would at home. And just like, yeah, it was nice. It was just a nice time to chill and like have a drink. However, I'm going to make it scary. I am looping round. My friend, me, Connor, and my other friends, Hector, Recap, right. So we were invited, but we missed the lifts. So there's only certain members of staff that drove. Obviously, the American staff who had their cars there drove down. We missed the lift. Oh. So we had to walk down. And we thought it was like down the road. And here, if you said down the road, you'd expect a 5-minute walk. Yeah. Danielle, this was a 45 to an hour long walk in the absolute pitch black on this road. There was no street lamps. It was in the pitch dark in the middle of rural New York.
Oh, no,
when I say New York, you imagine the city, but no, this was out in the sticks.
Yeah.
Like we were just walking past woods and woods and woods and woods and woods, and we were terrified with the noises we heard. Like, I thought we were dead. I really thought we all thought we were dead. We seen things in the forest. Eyes suddenly appeared. There was like apparitions and orbs flying about. And I don't know if it was our eyes playing tricks on us, but I just remember feeling like I was gonna die.
Oh.
Like 100% gonna die. And Connor and Hector will back me up on that. 100% they will back me up. I felt, and then there was points where we would just start running to get away from whatever, and it just felt like there was a presence there with us.
Oh,
and it was
like
the worst experience to be in. Anyway, we seen the lights and we could hear the noise at the end of the house, and we legged it to the house.
Oh God. Oh God, that is just
scariest
so scary.
Experience of my life.
Oh, I don't like that at all. Yeah, that is very annoying though, that they said down the road and it was 45 minutes. That is not down the road.
Yeah, but technically it was. It was down a very long
yeah,
road.
The longest road ever.
The longest road. Okay, so on this old Hallows Eve, there's a full moon out. It's a Saturday. There's a black cat on the windowsill meowing.
Meow, meow, meow.
You've just walked under a ladder and smashed a mirror. And now it's time to invite the demons in.
I don't want to.
Gary summer crap stories, right. I've just pulled these from the onlines. So make of them what you will. We don't know if they are true. We don't know if they're real. We don't know if they're made up. But
they're just scary stories. Hello, stories. Halloween.
It is what it says on the tin. Anyway, right. This one is from someone's Wattpad. And it says Summer Camp is the title.
Oh.
And it's by someone called Ginny JF. Thanks, Ginny. We won't gender them. And do you know what? 371 people have viewed the story. And 9 people have given it a star.
Oh.
Must be good. I was at a summer camp, and it was around midnight. We'd been at the campfire with the supervisors when it was time for scary stories. But it wasn't the same tonight, as the younger kids had just left the day before. We were going to set out for the shrine of a dead worker, at midnight to read scary stories. Previously, someone almost stole something from the shrine, so I was already terrified. We got in the golf cart, so classy, in brackets there. we got in the golf cart. Golf carts are a big thing at camp, and if you get to drive one, big thing, and headed to the shrine, which was in the forest. None of us were surprised when it was closed, so we started to head back. About halfway through, the golf cart stopped. It just stopped. We were all in a panic. We couldn't move, and the supervisor's phones wouldn't turn on. It was pitch black, and we only had two flashlights, and I was having a panic attack. But that wasn't what scared me the most. We had a loud snap, the sound of a twig snapping on the road behind us. But when we shone the flashlight in the area where it came from, nothing. Absolutely nothing. But a broken twig on the floor. Thank God the golf cart started to work again, and so did the supervisor's phones. We went back the next day. One of the supervisors found a painting. A painting belonging to the worker who had died on the same path. We returned it immediately, and we didn't have breakfast at the shrine on the last day of camp that year. We were all too scared.
Oh, that one sounds quite genuine.
Yeah, I think that happened because it's not too scary.
It's not too scary, but it's just a little bit scary. Oh, it's creepy though that it's the guy that died. Ooh.
Yeah. Just the right amount of scary, isn't it? Yeah. It was kind of well written. I've got some grammatical critiques.
Oh no, I don't like that.
But I feel, yeah. Do you think it happened?
You know what? I think it's quite authentic, that, because of the golf carts that you said are quite a big thing in the camps. So I feel like it's got those little details in there. And then obviously, again, it's not like it's being dead dramatic or anything. It's just, like, just right.
Yeah, it just says it as it is. So this is a new one. This is from Reddit. May as well share. Maybe telling the story will help me stop thinking about it now that my children are getting older and may start asking to attend a summer camp someday. I was a counsellor at a popular girls' summer camp in my hometown area of the state. Well, actually, I was the craft director. Crafting's big in summer camps.
Oh, is it?
I used to make some really good things. I was the craft director, which gave me a bit of more freedom and a nicer place to sleep. But this was a camp that I had attended myself as a girl, and when I was in college, I went back to work there. I loved this camp, and it meant a great deal to me, and I knew all the trails and all the different camping areas for the girls, the secret way to get underneath the swinging bridges, how to hike up the ridge the back way. I had spent a great deal of time there and had always felt comfortable and safe. There were no signs identifying the camp on the roads leading up to it, so everyone who ever worked there or attended the camp always felt a certain sense of freedom from the world. At least I know I certainly did. I never thought twice about walking around the camp late at night with just a flashlight that I normally kept off. After living outside like that, after a while your eyes got very used to the dark and you relied on moonlight to guide you. Being the craft director, I was often up late and running the kiln for the ceramics the girls made, or watching the fire when the girls made primitive pottery. Primitive. It was a fun job and I always loved it. The camp was set down in an area with lots of big trees, vines, bushes and a stream that ran right through it. There was a nice ridge that made for great climbing and gave a great view once you got to the top. Behind the ridge was a cattle pasture that was held by a local cattleman and was not accessible by any roads. You would have to travel over the cattleman's land to get to this ridge, unless you walked it in by the front gates of the camp. And if you walked in this way, you would have gone through a locked gate, a tall fence, and the caretaker's house, which was a middle-aged man and his wife, the camp director's cabin, and walked at least a mile to get to the ridge. Now, this is important to remember.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, So the craft house was up by the ridge. So you could be on the top of the ridge and look down on the craft house. There were several times other councillors would play pranks on me by sneaking up on me late at night when I was there, or by tossing little pebbles off the ridge to hit the roof of the craft house. I became used to little noises and other young girls trying to scare each other. We all did it. It was funny and in good fun. That's why I didn't take what was starting to happen seriously. It was my third summer out there as the craft director, and I was pretty used to the strange noises, animals running around at night, and taps on the windows that I blew off as other councillors playing pranks. This is when the flower bouquets began. They were just little bouquets that were left on the front doorstep of the craft house, the side door on the outdoor pottery wheel, and a couple of times I found them inside the craft house. But that wasn't a concern, as I always kept the craft house unlocked, as there were bathrooms inside and the girls and counsellors always knew they could stop there if they really had to go. I also had a fridge that I kept stocked with some water and snacks. It was often pretty hot in the summer, and for our campers it was always a new thing for them to be out in the heat, and they often forgot to drink their water. The bouquets were small, like something a girl would do who admired you. I'd always tried to draw out the girls who was having a hard time fitting in at the camp, and I really thought it was a way for one of them to tell me thank you. I always put them in a vase by the entrance door and always told all the girls how nice it was for someone to leave me flowers. I figured the girl who left them would enjoy hearing it. Boy, was I ever naive or stupid, but probably both. I'm not liking where this is going.
No, I don't like it at all.
It's very Blair Witch. I was up there late at night about 2 weeks after the flowers started running the kiln. I preferred to stay up with it running as it got very hot, and I was paranoid the whole thing would catch on fire and burn down the whole camp. I started hearing some tapping on the back windows, which I ignored. I was used to the pranks now as a seasoned counsellor and wasn't in the mood to provide jokes for anyone. They kept at it, and I yelled out to stop or I was going to return the pranks in filled with some spiders in a bed or maybe a snake. I heard laughter after that, but it sounded wrong. It wasn't a girl's laughter. It sounded like a man.
Oh.
I turned around to the window and caught sight of a pair of eyes looking at me. I grabbed my walking coat. We all carried one of these if we had to kill a rattlesnake. Can't have rattlesnakes around at young campers. I ran out of the building to see someone running off to the edge of the woods / bush behind the craft house.
Oh, I don't like it, I don't like it.
At first, I thought I must have heard wrong. A man's laughter. I was losing my mind due to the late hour, but I went to the director's cabin and woke her up anyway. She was pissed at me, but got up and woke the other counsellors, and we combed the area. Finding nothing, she got up the caretaker, who was even more pissed, and helped us look. We found nothing. I wasn't popular the next morning at breakfast, but I had to say something. I mean, we had little girls out there, for goodness sake. We were responsible for their welfare, and I could have been wrong not to say something and got everyone up. It was reported with the local sheriff, and the summer continued as usual. The flowers stopped for a while, and I began to think I had imagined the whole thing and maybe needed more sleep. I think everyone just thought I was a victim of a prank played by another counsellor or some of the older campers. The last week of active camp, the flowers. So active camp is when there's kids there. There's camp that is you can camp, because obviously the counsellors are there before and after the active season. The last week of active camp, the flowers started again, but they were everywhere. Everywhere. Outside my cabin, inside my cabin, at the craft house, at the bath house. I started throwing them away. I was freaked out. I was always second-guessing everything I did, paying more attention to my surroundings and hoping I was overreacting. Water and snacks were missing from the fridge, and everyone thought I was maybe having a breakdown and needed a break. The last bouquet was bigger, and at the front door of the craft house. When I saw it, I threw it directly in the trash can. This was out of hand and was either a great prank by my fellow counsellors or too scary to imagine. This was on a Friday morning, and we always released the campers late Friday afternoon to go home, and it was our last campers of the season. I was ready to get out of there and go home. I was over it and tired of the pranks, or what I thought were pranks. When I turned around, I got a prickly feeling that you get when someone is staring you down. I had goosebumps all down my arms, and I got that shot of adrenaline And I got that shot of adrenaline that your body knows it's about to fight or flight time. I looked up at the top of the ridge for some reason unknown. Only to God and I saw him. He was standing at the top looking down on me. I saw his silhouette in the setting sun and the jerk was laughing at me. Laughing. I was standing there pissed, scared and in shock. He actually was laughing at me and I could hear it. He then shouted down if I liked his surprise. I had enough at that point and took off. I don't think I ever run that fast in my life. I got to the director's office and she believed me this time. She got the authorities out there and they searched around. Of course, nothing was found. Not a damn thing. Just one very mad rattlesnake. I left the camp that night, as did everyone else. We normally stayed for a week afterwards cleaning up and getting the camp ready for the winter, but no one stayed after that. I had never been back there and the camp was shut down shortly after that. I don't think anyone else was ever bothered. He seemed to reserve that funny business for me that summer. I know they still do group camping out there and use the place for events, but no more summer camp. I pay more attention now, needless to say, and I doubt I will ever let my children attend a summer camp.
Oh,
scary, scary.
That's so creepy. I do not like that at all. Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, scary. Matt, what would you do in that situation? I think that's real.
Yeah, it probably is, because it's probably just some weirdo just being a creep, isn't it? Like, oh, I really don't like that. Oh, God.
And do you know what? I can imagine that would happen. 100% imagine that would happen. And the scary thing is, it's probably just a weirdo that's, like, ready to murder her.
Yeah.
It's not even supernatural.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wasn't thinking it was supernatural. I was thinking, yeah, just some weirdo out in the woods. Because, it, like you said, it's so isolated. That's why I don't like the idea of, like, these summer camps and stuff. Because it just seems like it's a recipe for disaster. Like, no.
And disasters do happen. Every camp has, like, a legend of, like, a counsellor who died in a tragic way.
Oh, I don't like it. Why is it always the counsellors? Why isn't it the campers?
Because the counsellors take more risks.
Oh, I don't like it. And also, it's like,
right.
It's like, why do you always have to be out at night time on your own? Why aren't these areas well lit? I don't understand.
I know, it's mad, isn't it?
It's like, just put some street lamps in.
Like, the one I was in was, like, at this, like, on the side of a hill. And, like, it was literally, like, camping, but in wooden shacks. And the electricity was very, very limited. Like, there was only one structure that was made out of brick when I was there. And that was, that was, like, the canteen, and if there was going to be a hurricane, that's where everyone had to go.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, yeah. I don't like it. Don't like that at all.
So, I'm going to finish you off by telling you this, like, third-hand story that I'm telling you.
Go on, then.
And it's not going to be as suspenseful or dramatic as they want, because I'm literally trying to remember it as I speak. So, there was this summer camp these people worked at, whoever they may be, and a part of the summer camp, they would hike up a hill, up a mountain. And on this mountain, there was like this building. It was like a shack. I think it was like a coal house or something. But that's where they would stay. And the campers would have their overnight camp. And they would take like the older kids with them. And they were walking and they went up. And this one night, what they would do is they would get the kids and they would get them to sit in a circle and they would tell them the story about this person who would climb up the hill when the campers were doing the overnight camp. And they would tell them that they would come for them in this house they were in. And the joke would be that they would have campers on the outside of the house, like scratching on the walls and like banging on the walls. That would be like the joke and the prank on the kids. And then the counsellors would jump out on the campers. However, this one night, before they started telling the story, those things actually started to happen. Things started to get scratched. People started to get taps on the shoulders. And then all of a sudden, it was like the house was surrounded and everything was being banged. But all the counsellors were present and all the campers were present in the house, scared. So much so that they had to call emergency line to get people up to come and see what was happening because the banging wouldn't stop.
Oh my God.
And anyway, they never found out what caused the banging.
Oh my God, that's so scary. What the hell?
Mm-hmm. So that's a third-hand story. I can't remember where it's from, but I feel like I might have made some of that up. But that's the gist. You get the gist. Scary.
I get the gist. Oh, God, I hate... Yeah, like I said, it just seems like it's a recipe for disaster. It seems like it's somewhere where people can just go to get away with awful things.
100%. I like scary. I would... I'd never go back. It's too scary.
Oh, I don't like it.
Okay, Danielle, I want to start something on our podcast for our Freaky Fridays, and I'm going to launch it on our Halloween special, which is now.
Go on.
So, here it is, and I'm not going to give you any thinking time. It is called Two Line Horror Stories.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so you're going to tell me a horror story, you're going to make it up, you're going to improvise, which is no more than two sentences. Okay.
Okay.
And it's got to scare me. It can be made up. It can be silly. So, like, the most famous one of these, like, one or two lines short horror stories is the last man in the world sat in a house. There was a knock on the door.
I get it, because he's the last man.
Is the famous one. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you come up with one. I come up with one. You're going to go first.
Okay. So... I fell over. I landed on a pin. That's the horror story.
That's an awful horror story.
It is awful. But it hurts. Landed on pins. Oh. Or like, I was walking across the carpet. I stood on a plug.
Oh, that's not scary.
Yeah, but it's horror. That is a horror story.
Okay, you ready for mine?
Go on, yours is going to be properly scary because you've had time to think.
I haven't. I've literally just made this concept up right now. I always sleep with my leg out of the duvet. That was until the night when my leg was pulled off the bed.
Oh.
That was scary in my head.
Yeah, it's scarier than mine though, to be fair.
Yeah, I used to sleep with my leg outside the duvet until the night the old man tickled my toes.
I love that so much. That's so funny.
I don't know. This is how, I feel like we should end off Freaky Fridays like this. So, like, be thinking of them, because every Freaky Friday we're going to end it like this.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll try and think of... Because the thing is, I don't know if people know this, but I am a writer... But I'm like a thoughtful, like I need to like sit and think and do draft after draft after draft rather than like, you know, like just come up with something off the top of my head. Uni.
Draft after draft of a two-line horror story.
Yeah, and it's hard. I can't think of stuff off the top of my head. Like when I was at uni, they'd be like, right, so we're going to do some free writing for the first 20 minutes of the session, and then we're all going to feed back. And that was my horror story, because I'd be sat there like... That was my nightmare, because I'd be like, no, because I'd have to think of something, write about it, and then people would have to read it. And I was like, but it's not ready to be read, because I haven't even had my thinking time. Like, oh, it stressed me out so much. And I had to quit. I quit my creative writing degree after 2 years. And just did full history because it was too much. The pressure was too much.
Stop it.
They'd be like, oh, okay, we go to a poetry class. Right, we're going to write about poetry. Right, go. And I'd just be like, no, this isn't enough time. I need to know what you want me to write it about. I need to know this, need to know that. Da, 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 da.
I loved it. I did a creative writing master's and I was like, yeah, you want me to do some slam poetry? Yeah, I'll do it right now.
Yeah, see, no, I'm a very thoughtful, like, I need to think about what I want to write about and things like that. Like, when, to be fair, my portfolio's always got really high marks, but it was because I'd had time, you know, to, like, think about them and do them and stuff like that. So,
Danny, our listeners will be waiting with bated breath. Up until next Freaky Friday.
Yeah, now that I've set myself up, like, yeah, I can write a great thing. I just need to think about it.
Mm-hmm. So we look forward to that next Friday.
Okay.
And from all of us here at Curiously Morbid, we hope you have the spookiest, scariest All Hallows Eve.
Happy Halloween!
But in the meantime,
stay curious.
stay morbid.
This has been an Audio Bear production. Our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin MacLeod.
And if you want to be listed here as a Patreon, go to our Patreon at Curiously Morbid Pod, and you could be part of our credits. Yes, queens. Yes, MacLeod lad.